On Tuesday, California became the first state to completely eliminate bail for suspects awaiting trial. Governor Jerry Brown signed the bill, replacing bail with a risk assessment system, into law Tuesday afternoon.
In California, the reason why it's been so abusive is our medium bail is $50,000.
State Senator Bob Hertzberg is a Democrat representing the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles.
We know from the Federal Reserve that 40% of the people across the United States have to borrow or sell something if they need to gather $400.
He co-authored the system that will replace cash bail starting in October 2019.
No longer the size of your wallet, it's the size of your flight risk or public safety risk. And there's a pretrial services assessment tool together with judicial review, and that then determines whether or not you're going to be released. And released means you may have an ankle monitor, it means you may have to call in every day or whatever. And we found in parts of California and other parts of the United States that that system works really well.
I talked with both Senator Hertzberg and his fellow co-author, Assemblyman Rob Bonta, a Democrat who represents parts of Oakland and San Leandro in the East Bay area.
I was hearing from my constituents. I was hearing from experts. I was hearing from those on the ground, all speaking with the same voice, saying our current money bail system is fundamentally broken, that it's unfair and unjust and it's unsafe, and it needs to be fixed. I was hearing stories from constituents and individuals who have lost their jobs because they were in jail and no risk to the public. They were losing their cars that were parked in time-limited areas. They were losing their homes because they couldn't pay their mortgage or their rent, in some cases even losing their kids because they were single parents and there was no one to watch their kids while they languished in jail, even though they were no risk. And it really resonated with me that we have a money-based system where individuals are judged on the size of their wallet instead of the size of their risk, and where freedom and liberty is pay to play. And that is all wrong. It's not fair, it's not just, and it's not safe. This policy is fairer, it's safer. It will release many more thousands of individuals safely who don't need to be locked up unnecessarily. And this is California leading the way for a fairer, more just, more safe system.
So, gentlemen, typically bail reform is something that criminal justice reform advocates would be embracing. But in this case, groups like the ACLU are opposing SB 10. They say the bill gives judges too much leeway in deciding whether to keep people in detention before their trials. And they also say that they're concerned that the tools used to decide whether someone is a public safety risk would reflect longstanding racial biases. Can you address their concerns?
Why don't you address the judges and I'll address the tools?
Sure.
Mr. Bonta.
Judges are a critical part of our constitutional government structure. They are there to do deliver justice impartially and to treat individuals as individuals. And we also understand that there are some groups, some individuals that don't always trust judges. And you know that's a reality. Wherever there's people, there is the potential for less than perfect delivery of certain approaches and services. But we think on balance, with the recommendations that were given, the role of judges with the meets and bounds and the restrictions and the guardrails that are put on them in this bill, that it's appropriate. And should they disagree with the judge's decision, they can appeal right away. We think that is due process at work and will lead to more justice and more fairness and more safety.
Yeah, that appeal is 3 days. And on the tools, there's a concern, and it's a legitimate concern, that they're biased. By virtue of this bill, SB 10, we now have an assessment tool process that's going to be reviewed by the Judicial Council. A panel of experts is set forth in the bill, four of them, one of whom is expert on bias, is going to approve these different high-level and medium-low deals so that you make sure that the tools work. In addition, we've baked into the bill a study that by an academic institution or a public policy institution look at bias, and Mr. Bonta and I next year are going to introduce a bill to gather to collect data. So this bill doesn't go into effect, SB 10, until October 2019. And we'll determine whether or not there's bias in the system. And guess what? Guess what? We're a legislature. Next year and the year after and the year after, we're going to be watching this like a hawk. And we're going to come back and making sure that the system works.
So, gentlemen, are you saying that annually legislators will take a look at how SB 10 is playing out?
I don't think there's a question about that. We're going to be on it. Our public safety committees will be on it. We have a reporting system. We're doing the legislation next year. Look, the big thing is the injustice. You know, people say, oh, you've traded out bail for a pretrial detention system. And our answer is we have a pretrial detention system. It's called bail. That's not fair, and it's not smart. And it's also really expensive. 63% of the people in Los Angeles County are pretrial detainees. They cost between $115 and $216 a day to keep. What's that cost government? And every time we've used these pretrial detention systems, the recidivism rate is down, the reappearance rate is up, and the fairness to the justice system is better.
So will people still be able to be released on their own recognizance?
Sure.
I mean, basically, the SB 10 drives pretrial services and judges to release individuals with the least restrictive non-monetary conditions possible. And only when an assistant district attorney brings a motion for detention does a judge consider that motion and in that instance potentially detain someone. In every other instance, they're released. It could be on their own recognizance with no conditions at all. There could be some conditions as well, as Senator Hertzberg said, where it's a text or a call from a pretrial services officer.
Right. I guess that could also be a risk, right? That somebody who would have normally been ROR'd could now be made to wear an ankle bracelet, say, or call in weekly or monthly.
That's right. That's exactly true. But one of the things that, you know, some of the critics came out early in an earlier version, and we put this in the end, that's really important to understand. We've taken out all monetary conditions. So if there's an ankle bracelet, there's no cost. If there's daily call-ins, there's no cost. There's no administrative fees. So that money is never a factor in determining somebody's liberty.
All right, gentlemen. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Senator Bob Hertzberg and Assemblyman Rob Bonta, both Democrats in California's state legislature.
This is Chris from South Carolina. I have had to post bail for myself, which was $800, for charges that were null processed because the police had made a mistake, and they told me that that was just money that I would never get back.
Hi, I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. We, the family members, end up posting bail and never get our money back from the offender. The line between assistance and enabling takes a while to figure out, and then you have to be strong enough to say enough is enough.
This is Rachel from Louisville, Kentucky. I had to post my husband's bond with immigration a number of years ago, and it was a horrible, horrible experience. It was a really high bond. I had to borrow money from all kinds of family members to get it up together. Then I had to drive 5 hours to Chicago to post the bond. And it took days of work to get it posted. I missed work. I had to take my child with me. It was a horrible experience.
Thanks for those calls. Share your bail story at 877-8-MY-TAKE. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.